there's seasons when you're going to push and there's seasons when you're going to pull back and you have to recover.
Those were wise words from Dr. Crystal Frazee, who is an executive coach, a keynote speaker, and the creator of Attuned Leadership. Her mission is to teach women leaders to navigate the invisible gendered barriers they face and that traditional leadership and business development overlook. She blends her expertise in women's integrative health, leadership, gender studies, and somatics to transform company culture within organizations so women thrive at all levels and to guide individual women leaders to reach their desired success without compromising their satisfaction or burning out. In her spare time, she's sipping tea, walking the lakeshore, writing her book, and hanging out with her two fiery daughters and husband in West Michigan. You're listening to the Off the Charts Business Podcast. Let's dive on in. So our topic today is all about body wisdom, and it's an important part of your work. So can you explain to us what it is and why you think it's such a pivotal part for women entrepreneurs, especially to help with productivity and capacity management?
Yes, it's a great question. And I'm really excited to be talking about this. I would love to just take a minute and say that over the years, from what you've shared on social media and in your email newsletter, I feel like you innately kind of understand this to some extent. So I'm hoping that as I'm sharing, you can also weave in any of your insights, tips, and, you know, earned wisdom that we have as well, because, you know, I also look up to you in this way. But, you know, I think maybe it's helpful for me to start with a story. And that would be that 6 years ago, I thought crisis management was my superpower. You know, something needed to be done and I just made it happen. And people around me would say things like, how do you do so much? You know, I just would anticipate things, fix them, and really saw myself as a problem solver. And that was 6 years ago, and that's with some pretty major life event changes. But 5 years ago, it really turned into burnout. I was the primary provider for my family during a period when my husband was unemployed. I was also postpartum at that time. I know you can understand that. You know, at that point, I had a one-year-old and a three-year-old, I think. You know, in addition to building my own business as an entrepreneur, which was a leadership and coaching agency, I was also working full-time in healthcare. Just to paint the picture of what that looked like, I would get up in the morning, prep dinner, pack lunches, nurse the baby, do the laundry, like all the things before the day got started. It was like entrepreneur life on steroids, you know? But then at night, you know, it was like just more of the same, except I would follow up with clients and write content and work on my marketing. And, you know, that would go on until like 1 a.m. So it really wasn't for me until I had both of my kids in my arms, they're crying. And I realized I just felt completely indifferent. I was unmoved. I was sick, I guess, in some way. And that was how far it took my body of pushing for me to realize, oh, it's actually not supposed to be like this. So with this conversation to entrepreneurs, small business owners about managing their journey, you know, it's such an invitation to just be curious about how you're partnering with your body to reach your goals. In this story and in my background, I was a yoga teacher, and not only that, but a yoga therapist. And I've taught internationally, and I'm a part of curriculum programs. I had all these sort of body-based skills, and I still found myself in that place. So I share that just to say that if we're not kind of actively really listening to the body and putting those skills into practice, we can still get into trouble. But, you know, productivity, if we just define that, so we all are thinking about the same thing, is really how much we can do. It should be an objective measure. It's about what we can track our output. You know, it's how much we can get done in a certain period of time. Most of us kind of overestimate that to some extent. And that's related to capacity, because capacity is how long we can keep that level of productivity going with the same amount of resources. And for most of us as entrepreneurs, we have goals that are related to learning new things. For me as an entrepreneur at that time, it was every day learning something, learning to deal with something. Also, being creative. It's a huge part of the entrepreneur journey and just growth. So being more visible, stepping onto bigger stages, having a bigger message, all the ways that can show up as you're changing your business, managing a team, etc. It really is so important that we're in kind of creating an intersection of all these things. What our body's saying, understanding the concept of productivity, and how it relates to capacity so that we can actually, you know, reach those goals. And maybe to bring it to the listeners, because I've kind of been talking for a while now, just asking yourself, how often are you coming to the present moment? Out of your head, the temple area, your face, below the neck, and somewhere in your body, like in this present moment, especially when you're making a decision about what am I going to do next? Am I going to say yes to that event? Am I going to put something on my calendar? Is this goal achievable? Is my body wanting me to do this right now? So I guess that's kind of sketching like a really big picture of why I think this is so important.
So fascinating. And I can definitely see the productivity side where we think, oh, I can keep going. I can keep adding more. I can increase my capacity. Or at least that's how we think about it, right? There's this whole quote of like, give a task to the busiest person you know and they'll be able to do it kind of thing. Yes. I feel like there's definitely this feeling that, okay, I can optimize my way out of this. I can just get more done every day, right? And I feel like that's a bit tricky because like you were saying, you kind of disconnect from your body if you do that. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about why aren't we listening to our body wisdom all the time and kind of how do we get in that situation in the first place?
Yes. To answer that, first, I should acknowledge that my background, my study is in gender studies. It's in women's leadership. I come from a lens of supporting women through their specific challenges. I don't typically serve someone who would identify as a male. So I'm not wanting to leave out part of your audience. I just want to acknowledge that. And of course, that's a loose term, female, male, but, you know, just to say that my perspectives come from that. But as women, there's a conditioning in Western society and really in every society. It's just, it's unique for each culture. There is a standard to uphold. For us here, you know, in the United States and Canada, you know, I consider it the good woman narrative. I'm from the Southern United States. I call myself a recovering Southern Belle. The good woman narrative is just the belief that girls in general should be quiet, pretty, nurturing, generous, and obedient. Kind of not to rock the boat, you know, go with the flow, be easy. And it's unconscious. No one's teaching it on purpose. No one's learning it on purpose. And we're certainly not perpetuating it in our own lives on purpose. But that conditioning stays with us as we move into adulthood. It shows up in how we spend our time, our energy and attention. It shows up in how we run a business. And what happens is there's a conflict of values where on one hand, we really want to meet the needs of every employee and every client and not let anybody down and not fail and not rock the boat and have everything look polished and, you know, et cetera. The story goes on. While on the other hand, the authentic truth might be that that's not achievable. You know, we don't have the capacity for doing all of that. And our body is at various times in our lives not able to keep up with those demands and that pressure. It really is about just being aware individually of family of origin, culture, if you were, you know, raised in any specific religion, what your role models have been in your life, and just starting to just be curious about what are stories I might have in my mind about what it means to be a good woman or a good man or a good fill in the blank, because that can be guiding us unknowingly. And for someone listening and you're like, well, I don't do that. I've done this work. I'm past that. I'm not driven by those ideas. It's kind of like, why do we tidy the house before we go on vacation? Just in case. somebody comes in, right? What is that about? And really, everything I've said in describing this is fear-based, and it gets really ingrained. And the threat of social criticism or judgment is so big that it pulls us out of our body. Now, this is super heady and high level, right? But it's what I believe is at the heart of 50% of women leaders at all levels reporting burnout and women leaving the workforce at incredible record rates, you know? So we really have to look at, why aren't we listening to our body? Why can't we slow down, change course before things get so serious and severe? And as being someone with a background in healthcare and in holistic medicine and yoga therapy and all of those things, I had the knowledge, but the knowledge isn't enough when we may have some inner story that we're used to getting validated for fulfilling in some way. That's my idea of kind of where it comes from. And specifically for women, there's something that I call the perfection paradox. And that's where you're criticized if you fall short of that narrative, right? If you don't fulfill in those ways, then you're criticized socially. But if you did somehow magically, you're a unicorn and you did reach it, ooh, then you really get punished. And that's where we can think of our celebrities, whether that's a woman in government, a woman leading a business as a CEO, someone like Taylor Swift, right? You know, we can think of many women CEOs who led record growth in companies, but they were almost bullied into leaving their roles or stated, you know, the burnout isn't worth it. It's not achievable. So yeah, I think all of this social underlying conditioning creates a distraction from being able to listen to our body wisdom. And for anyone listening that's still not sure that what I'm talking about applies to you, we can ask ourselves, where in your life have you learned to listen to your body? It doesn't really happen in schools, right? I mean, not the schools here. I don't know about the schools where you're at.
I was going to say, I definitely relate to that. And I feel like coming up in the tech space as a woman, I definitely felt like I had to work twice as hard. Yes. I had to overexert and overachieve to be considered on the same level. So I feel like that conditioning that you were talking about is rampant, right? And I feel like it's not conscious. It's not something that you're like, oh, I'm going to choose this. And I'm fully aware that this is how I'm going to operate in this scenario. And yeah, I think it's really interesting what you said about our body communicating with us, right? Because sometimes we're like, I'm going to say yes to this, or I'm going to stay late tonight, or I'm going to overextend myself to help someone because I think that's what I have to do. And at the same time, you might be getting signals that, no, actually, you're already tired, or, you know, there's already too much going on, or you already said to yourself that you're not going to do this anymore, or whatever it is, right? And so I feel like, how can we listen to those signals? And it also reminded me of Dr. Gabor Mate. He talks a lot about the body says no. There's, especially for women, it's a big issue because we've been socialized not to say no, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like this all kind of comes together.
Absolutely. I love his work. It's so spot on and so timely. And really, this conflict of values is really boils down, especially for women, as me meeting my needs, fulfilling my own needs, feeling worthy of my own needs versus yours, whether yours is your spouse, your neighbor, your community, your child, or your employer, or your employees, or your business, or your product, or whatever, right? And what I found in years of working exclusively with either women founders or women executives is that it is not as common as you would think it is that someone feels entitled to their own time and energy. More often than not, we have to do some work to be able to say, my time and energy is mine and I have agency over it and I get to decide and I don't have to explain. I don't have to apologize. It is what it is. Because of the way that, you know, there's these double binds and double standards, goodness, especially women in defense, women in STEM, women in manufacturing, women in engineering, right? We can go through all of these industries where the double binds just can be almost impossible. Your intelligence is just not enough. So yeah, and if we think back to earlier life, the ways we're taught just generally as a population to tune out those signals, which as a baby, they're huge. You know, we cry when we're hungry, we cry when we're cold or hot or bored or anything, right? We are so attuned to our bodies and we communicate it and we easily receive the love or comfort or nurturance that is offered us. But then we, you know, we kind of go to school and we can't pee when we need to. We have to pretend it's not happening because you got to wait until the bell rings, right? As you mature, if you're a female and you start menstruation, you're not allowed to be, you know, air quotes here, off. You know, if you're an athlete, you have to push and perform. You have to pretend you're not going through some massive change in your body. You know, as a woman, we are taught to ignore injustice and poor behavior, like being catcalled or whatever is inappropriate as you're going through adolescence and continues into adulthood. Just look at the statistics of young girls and mental illness and eating disorders that seems to be impacting our youth at younger and younger and younger ages. So there's a lot of ways, and this conversation alone about the why could be the whole show. But for the listeners, do you go to the bathroom when you need to go, or do you ignore it until you're sitting in your seat and you're squirming and you realize you've been ignoring it for a while? Or the people I talk to who really don't eat lunch because they just keep working. They don't notice they're hungry. Or the women I work with that don't speak up when they feel like something's unfair, you know, or something is assigned to them when they feel like they already have a full plate and someone else may not. Or most commonly, just feeling like you can rest when you're tired without any guilt or shame or explanation. It's a rare jewel to see that amongst women modeled. And for me personally, I don't have any female role models in my family of origin. And only recently do I have that in my friend circle, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah, that's so interesting about seeing it modeled in someone else and seeing, I guess, self-respectful kind of way of your own body wisdom, right? And how to honor that and make decisions based on it. I love that so much. So you mentioned that maybe you have some case studies or some success stories or examples of people that you've coached through integrating this body wisdom and what it helped them do in their entrepreneurial journeys.
Before I do that, though, I would like to take a second and just create a really understandable metaphor for listeners. And that is of an athlete. So even if you yourself have never been athletic, think of someone that is. I'm going to say Serena Williams because to me, she's a heroic athlete. But whoever's in your mind, you know, just imagine that they have a training schedule and they also have a recovery schedule. And when they're going to push through an envelope, push their speed, the strength, like whatever the sport is, they get that gain not in how hard they train, but in how strategically they rest. And if an athlete like Serena just pushed and pushed and pushed and trained and trained, then there's injury. You know, you sacrifice the competitiveness, you lose the capacity to grow when you're not resting adequately. Just Google that sort of athletic performance. And, you know, if nothing else is taken from this conversation, it's to the listeners that you have to bring some of that mindset into your entrepreneurial path, that there's seasons when you're going to push and there's seasons when you're going to pull back and you have to recover. Well, how do you know when to push? How do you know when you need to recover? How do you know when you've recovered enough? Because we don't have, I don't know, million-dollar coaches. I have no idea how much they cost, like Serena Williams has, and nutritionists feeding us and et cetera. You know, we have to actually just listen to ourselves. That's what I want you to be thinking about when I talk about clients. I guess one that I would share is a client that is a business founder, business owner, in marketing and tech space. And really for her, we kind of diagnosed some of the bottleneck that she was experiencing is just in her ability to make a decision, yes or no. So she's someone who's known as an action taker. She gets things done. She has a lot of relationships. She has a lot of capacity, even within the circle of her friends. If they're going to plan a trip, she's the one that somehow is planning it. If there's a Christmas dinner, she's somehow hosting it. It just kind of came from everywhere, all angles of her life. And in just starting to recognize that saying no means saying yes to something you value. And we've heard that all before, right? When you say no to something, you say yes to something else. And I'm sure you experience that every day. You're like, I'm saying no to having this type of business so that I have time to be with my family and to manage my farm-related responsibilities and all that, right? For example, there was a nonprofit that kept coming to her and saying, can you do this for us? Can you speak on our behalf? Will you do these things? We would love for you to do this. You're the perfect person. And initially, it wasn't even in her mind that she could just say, I wish I could do that, but I'm not able to. End of story. You know, it was like, well, I wish I could, but my son's about to graduate from high school and I've got to do this. And then I've got this other project. And there was this whole inner struggle with feeling validated in just saying no. And so when you can really just sit down and be quiet with yourself and realize what your values are and listen to your body, you know, your body actually has sensations of when you really mean yes and when you really mean no, right? And if you can start to just be curious about that, then you can really learn a lot. And so in this specific individual that was starting to just listen to her body, she wasn't allowed to put anything on her calendar or say yes to anything without waiting 48 hours, just a minimum time to like work through that inner narrative. Think about the values that are in conflict from both sides and then continue to say, I would choose myself and kind of go from there. And for the listeners, for some of you, you're like, I am doing this already. And for you, I'm air high-fiving you. And for others, it's just, it's a trial and error. And we do these things and it feels scary and we learn from it and we modify and then we do it again, you know, so it's a learning process. There's another client who was really rocking the business and growing the business, but she had a struggle with managing a board. And the board was mostly all male. The board was highly critical. She took it all very personally. And what we worked on was listening to her body's messages with communication. So for her, people would say sort of dismissing things or something cutting, just outwardly judgmental, and, you know, challenge her when she's facilitating meetings. You know, she's the one that's delivering the results of the company, but she wasn't recognized or validated for it. And all of these things in her body made her feel small and anxious and uncertain and self-doubting. And if you can imagine what those things feel like in your body, it's not pleasant, especially when you know objectively you're doing great. You know, you're doing everything great. And so for her, it was noticing when these things were happening and being with her body and developing skills to stay grounded and to not get triggered, like not to get emotional or feel like she needed to respond or, you know, retaliate or anything like that. It was just being in her body, allowing that sensation to pass through as if you imagine being a colander, giving herself permission to take up that space and correcting statements that were incorrect objectively, taking credit for work that she steered, describing her impact whenever she's about to, you know, discuss a change. Before she does that, she's going to clear the air and counter any upcoming criticisms by stating what's already been accomplished. And then just really preparing a boundary. And when we're in situations, whether it's a co-founder, an employee, maybe your employer, whatever that situation is where we have someone in our lives that tends to push those boundaries, we really need to have an actual sense of our physical outline of our body, right? So if you kind of take your hands and rub it heavily along your torso and belly and hips, right, and feel the outline of the back of your body, you're going to feel more contained within yourself before you walk into a meeting. And you can stay there. Sometimes when we have out-of-body experiences, we lose that sense of ourself. And so staying connected to a sensation in your body can help you. It's like a tether. It's a physical boundary.
I love how actionable that is, because I feel like we, and I love the 48-hour pausing before responding to anything or making decisions, because I feel like that's giving your body time to communicate with you, right? And I know for me, if I sleep on something, usually I'll have my answer the next morning. So not always, yeah. But you know, that really helps to process and just kind of clear any expectations or other things from the outside that might be influencing you that, you know, might skew you in one direction or the other kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really powerful. And then also remembering, hey, I'm a human in a human body and I'm entering a situation here. Remember who you are and being a little bit more grounded that way. I think that's such a powerful approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for her, it was like envisioning like bubble wrap all the way around, you know, nothing could penetrate. There's one more that, you know, I guess, I mean, there's lots more, but one that might, we haven't mentioned anything that could be helpful is another client who was really struggling with team turnover. And so she's a business founder. She built a team. She needed the team in order to scale and reach her goals, except she kept losing key players. So I came in to do some culture work and some diagnostics, and lo and behold, it was the founder that I felt, you know, really needed to understand better how to create team culture. What a growth opportunity for us all as our businesses grow, right? But her learning to listen to her body and actually stop being in her head all the time and in hyper multitasking, where she couldn't sit still in a meeting, she had to do two or three things at one time. Like her nervous system was so hyped up that created a negative effect for other people working with her, even in a digital space, even when they're not working in the same building, because her communication was affected by that. Her expectations of them was affected by that. And her ability to just start to listen to her body, to start to just be present during a meeting, because when we're that kind of, it's almost agitated, you know, we're in a hyped up, activated state in our nervous system, it's not going to make sense to say, well, lay down and just breathe and be still and stay calm. You have to work with your nervous system. So when it's heightened, let it be heightened, but differently, right? So for her, a strategy might have been to really focus on all the sensation on where her body is contacting surfaces. So her hips and her thighs and her feet and her hands on the armrest and noticing the temperature of that and all the sensory things that would go with that. And then she would move on to another way to anchor herself. So, you know, just as an example, but by regulating herself, she became a co-regulator. And that's the phenomenon where my nervous system affects the person I'm interacting. And if I'm in a heightened state, I can elevate their nervous system and they're in a heightened state. Stress is contagious. And stress is the kryptonite to productivity. And it's the kryptonite to capacity over time. It helps us at first get things done and think quickly and, you know, do all that. But then over time, it really accumulates and it's negative for us. So now she has a team of devoted employees. They feel validated by her. They feel like she's actually there with them, you know, and she's out of her head and she's in the moment. And that changed everything. Now, this is, I just think it's amazing, right? Because that changed everything instead of some fancy business tactic, you know?
It wasn't about the standard operating procedures, yes. the onboarding, you know, any of that stuff. Yeah. It was yeah. about changing how she operated herself and yeah, how she felt or how other people felt with her, right? Which mm-hmm. I think is amazing. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love all of those stories. So I would love to dive a little bit more into the process for developing this type of body wisdom and especially around productivity and capacity, because I think all of us want that, you know, big productivity, big capacity, but also I love what you shared about the rest periods, because I think mm-hmm. it's not all on all the time. So I think that's a good one to remember too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Despite what social media wants us to believe, we're not on all the time. So, you know, I said that productivity is what we can create, what we can generate, what we can objectively do. And, you know, I think that a piece of that is really just starting to learn, when am I at my best? Like at right now, at this age, with this dynamic happening in my life, right? With my health, with my family, with all the things with my business, what helps me be productive? I think this is the most fundamental question that anybody can ask. For most people, it's having clear priorities. I mean, that alone is phenomenal for your business. Too many people have too many priorities, and then you get watered down. So no more than three actual like goals within, you know, a 12-week period, really having devoted time to focus on those things without disruptions. And I'm talking about notifications. I'm talking about checking your email, like all of these kind of bad techie habits that people get. It's so important just to understand that that's not how your brain works. You get one beep that comes up, you know, Substack notification, and it actually takes your brain at least 15 minutes to get back on track. So, you know, just keeping that in mind, ask yourself, what do I need? And if you're the business owner, what you need is probably what your employees need. It's probably what your team needs. And that's where people need to give the ability for people to have do not disturb time. You know, if you email me, I'm not going to necessarily respond right now. I recommend having buffer time. So like for me, it's right before lunch and then right before the day ends. It's either 15 to 90 minutes, depending on what's going on. And that's where I'll either do personal items, schedule doctor's appointments, like whatever, that sort of thing, or respond to email, actually open email, respond to email, look at various platforms for notifications, and otherwise they're closed because otherwise I'm focusing on my top priority and that gets all my attention. So, you know, that alone can change everything.
I love that tip because I started basically blocking my internet, not internet completely, but phone, basically email, Slack, social, and basically all the like more distracting things that could pop up until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it changed so much in how I approached my day. I felt like, okay, I'm not just responding to everyone all day. I'm actually choosing the priorities that I want to work on for the day, getting those done first, and then I can do my correspondence and communication and all of that. And I think that is doable. It seems like, oh no, people might need me like first thing in the morning. But I think if you set the expectation and everybody knows that, most things are not going to explode, you know, in your inbox mm-hmm. or whatever, or at the end, mm-hmm. the world is not going to end if you don't respond within the first 10 minutes of the day. So I think that is a huge one.
Absolutely. And if you're really worried, set up an autoresponder and just explain your policies. So I love that you shared that. And I am not surprised because I love that you model this and you share it. I really respect that. You tend to discover and experiment something that works for you. And then unapologetically, you're like, yeah, this is what I need. And it really does change everything when you get up and you're not like, oh, well, first I check these five platforms without realizing how much of your actual brain power that takes. And if you recognize that you're creative first thing in the morning, then you're destroying your creative capacity, you know, by doing that. So that's the first thing, is really just to kind of align what you need to be doing during productive time and how you personally are productive. Now, some people work best at night or with background music, right? So it's different for everybody. So thinking about your neurotypical brain, neurodiverse brain, whatever you need to actually get the job done. But beyond that, as we're getting more advanced in body wisdom, it's what I call a check-in. And that is that you most likely don't have a huge practice of listening to your body. And that means that you just need to start with noticing things. And you're not even labeling them. You don't even have to have that pressure, but you're just noticing things as sensations, not as cognitive pieces of information to figure out, but just as sensation in the body. Emotions, they're just sensation in the body. Physical sensations, they're just sensations. There's no difference between physical sensations and emotional sensations. It's like, for me, I do a check-in that is literally where I just go, do I notice something physical in my body anywhere? And what I usually notice is pain and discomfort, tightness. And that's fine, you know, and I'll kind of just notice that. And then I'll scan my body and say, you know, are there any sensations with emotions? You know, where are my emotions in my body right now? And then what's happening mentally? And this is the hardest for people to understand. But if you work on a computer all day, then it's important to be asking that question. And what I mean is like the space in your head, in your forehead, you know, between your ears, you know, are you feeling energized and clear and focused? Or are you feeling slow and heavy, right? And kind of buzzing or something else? And just kind of noticing that. An example of how this is helpful for me personally was that I used to come home from work when I was in healthcare leadership, and I would be exhausted. I would just be exhausted. I had pushed it all day, and I would feel like I couldn't exercise. And so I would rest. And then by doing this, what I learned was that I wasn't physically tired. I was mentally tired. Right. And so then I discovered the difference between physical fatigue. I usually feel like in my legs and my pelvis and my hands. And mental fatigue is like, it's in my forehead. I want to cover my eyes and not have light. I want a little pressure on my head. And so the antidote to those things are unique. They're different. And that helped me, you know, I would get moving. My brain would get some recovery, my body would get the movement it need, and that helped me. So in some way, noticing anything in your body is going to help you build body wisdom. And just doing that without expectation. And for most people, that means sitting there and they're like, there's nothing. I don't hear anything. And just keep asking, you know? So that's one thing that I think could be helpful.
I love this concept of a check-in. And do you recommend people do it throughout the day? Just pick a time that you always do it. Maybe end of the day. I like that. Just checking in at that point too.
Yeah. Number one, the most important thing is that you just do it. So however that can work for you, best intentions sometimes, you know, fail. So whatever can be consistent, I think. For me, it works best if I do it before I get up, after work, and before I go to bed. Transition points can be good. There's a time where I did it in the car before I picked up my kids or before I came into the kids if they were already home at the end of the day. You know, those would be suggestions for you and your own environment. Maybe it's before you have a standard meeting. Maybe it's after that standard meeting. You know, sort of trying to find a way that it serves you when you kind of ask the question, what am I feeling? After you kind of get that under your belt a little bit, you know, what's happening with my check-in? Then the next thing is to ask, what do I need? You know, what does my body need? And that is such a hard question because it competes with what's expected of me. What does other people need? What does my business need? And it really is, you have to be really protective that it's really about yourself. So if you want to feel physically energized and emotionally grounded and calm and mentally clear and creative, then there's certain things you probably need as your day progresses to help you get back to that place or reach it if you haven't been there yet.
That is beautiful. It's a practice, right? To get to that place and continue to do it in a way that keeps serving you. If people want to find out more, tell us your website and other ways to work with you or reach you.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to hear your thoughts if any of this landed for you, if you're already doing this practice, you know, how that's gone for you in your journey, and also come by and check out some free resources I have on my website at crystalfrizzy.com. You can find me on any social platform with the handle at Dr. Crystal Frizzy. I'm most active these days on LinkedIn, but I have a lot of content that you can go back with a history on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. And, you know, I guess last thought for the listeners is, you know, just to, before you end the show, what's the one thing you're taking from this show that you are committing to be curious about, to experiment with, that you really want to give yourself, you know, a solid 4 to 6 weeks of playing with, just to see what happens for you? And, you know, what does that look like as you do that? So that's, I don't want you to leave without really, you know, committing to taking one specific thing away and not being afraid to try something you've never done, because doing something you've never tried can sometimes give you the results that you've been looking for.
So beautiful. I love it. Thank you so much, Crystal.
Want to keep growing your business on your terms? Then sign up for my free newsletter, The Momentum Memo. You'll get quick, actionable tips to gain momentum in your business every Tuesday. Head over to natalielucier.com/memo to join other entrepreneurs scaling on their terms. Whether you're just getting started or have been running your business for a while, The Momentum Memo has something for you.